his heart.
Greetings to all of you, Commander Phil, fellow veterans, all over. Auxiliary, band students out there, family, and friends. The question is, why are we here? The answer is, we are here because they are there, and freedom is not free. That grave stands as a memorial to all, men and women. It especially includes all those who paid the supreme sacrifice and also respects all veterans. No one could know his or her destiny. Would they come back to be with us here, or would they come back to be with those there? You only knew that something had changed. The Army jargon for this changing event is, you're in the Army now. You're not behind the plow. In my talk this morning, it will be mostly history, as it touched me in my life. Just a bit of introduction. I was born in 1929, 9 days before the bottom fell out of the stock market. I tell people the first thing I did was to close all the banks. I attended my first grade, 8th grade, in a country school on the North Dakota prairie. Even a teacher rode horseback to school. I have a pretty good memory of the Great Depression. My first 10 years, I remember grasshoppers and drought and dust storms. School was 5 days a week, 9 to 4, Sunday school and church on Sunday. These years were fairly peaceful, but most all of my life since then, I've been influenced by wars and rumors of wars. A significant event for me occurred in 1939. My mother and brother and sister had taken a bus to Minnesota to attend a family reunion. Pa and I were home. Pa came in at noon with the horses as he had been working in the field. I came in with the cattle from herding and to water them, and also to catch a bite. My dad always wanted to know the news, and there was plenty of it, and it would change the world. It was September 1st, 1939, and Hitler had invaded Poland. Hitler saw Germany as the leader of the world, and Hitler himself as their leader. He destroyed all of Germany's democratic institutions. You ask, how could this happen? Mary and I have been traveling some. We've seen the large piles of human hair sheared from the heads of those going into the gas chambers at Auschwitz. We've seen the piles of eyeglasses as prisoners threw off the last item they were wearing. Hitler moved on to control nearly all of Central Europe. Look at Adolf Hitler, Emperor Hirohito, Fidel Castro, Joseph Stalin, and most recently, Vladimir Putin. What did they want? Was it land? Was it glory? Was it power? What drives those people? You have to decide. But I think the power and control were high on their list. Just be careful and consider closely what people are really saying as you listen to them. I think what made Hitler so successful, besides his cruel discipline, was his large and capable tanks and artillery. I want to recognize one of our own great generals. That is General Leslie McNair. He was born in Verndale. He attended elementary school in Verndale. He graduated from West Point, 11th in a class of 124. He was a student of war and recognized how strategic armor is. He saw it used in North Africa and convinced the powers that be that we needed more and improved armor, tanks, artillery, and heavy guns to provide better cover for the infantry. I read that McNair was one of Hitler's most feared generals. He was killed at St. Lô, France in Operation Cobra. We have seen monuments in Europe dedicated to him. It was General Marshall who called McNair the brains of the army. Verneuil's McNair Park was dedicated to him and to all veterans with a nice plaque. Back to North Dakota. There were many scrap buyers canvassing the country in the late 1930s and early 1940s. We had an old headers, discs, even an old thrash machine, and more sitting around. I asked my dad, "Why don't you sell that old iron?" He said, "I'm afraid it will come back at us." He had several young nephews to think about. You see, Japan was paying a good price for scrap. Then it happened. Sunday, December 4th, 1941, at about 1:45 North Dakota time, mother, my brother and sister and I were all in the Model A Ford waiting for my dad to come. We had church and Sunday school 2 to 4 in the afternoon in the winter on the prairie. I had seen my dad in the house with his ears, with the earphones on and glued to the radio. My dad reported to us that unidentified planes had hit Pearl Harbor and caused heavy damage. He also said, "I don't think I'll live to see the end of this war." The next day, Congress and President Roosevelt would declare war on Japan, and 3 days later on Germany and Italy, the Axis powers. Many countries were calling for our help, but until then, the American people were not ready for another war. Now, the country was united as I don't believe I've ever seen it. Young men and women were volunteering all over. No one could know for sure who would win the war. Rationing of all sorts swung into action. Gas, food, tires, machinery, and more would be rationed. Families planted victory gardens since food was in short supply. I remember our family picking milkweed pods to be used in life vests by downed pilots. Our community had farewell parties for those leaving for war and also for the whole families going to work on the defense plants. Rosie the Riveter became famous. As the war went on, I remember kids crying in the halls at school as sad news had come home. We swung into action with a vengeance as we fought a war in the vast Pacific, the Atlantic, most of Europe, and much of Asia. Japan had also landed on 2 islands in the Aleutians, Aotearoa and Kiska. In 1952, my life saw another big change. The Korean War was raging. I volunteered for the Army for 2 reasons. First of all, I felt others deserved a measure of freedom that I had enjoyed. By then, a communist government had been established in North Korea, and the United States had come to South Korea's aid. My second reason was for joining the Army was because many of my friends were already serving. It has been said, in the Army, don't volunteer for anything. Well, I disagree, and I volunteered for everything. The Army, the Airborne, Korea, many details and more. And the funny thing was, I got everything I volunteered for. We had 16 weeks of basic training at Camp Chaffee, Arkansas, and was it hot there. It consisted of hard physical training, including infantry and artillery training. Now, I gotta stop for a second. This is becoming too much, I think, about me. But anyway, I got up this morning, was gonna tear it up, and then I talked to somebody and they said, "No, it's Army life, that's the way it is. They wanna know about it." So I'll continue. Those 16 weeks were good for me. I met other young men from all over the United States and made many friends. I learned about people and found that there was life beyond North Dakota and Minnesota. After basic training, I joined the Airborne to go to Fort Benning, Georgia for jump school, 3-week course. That sounded exciting, and paratroopers were paid an extra $50 a month, hazardous duty pay. In those days, $50 would buy a nice Holstein heifer calf. There we jumped, trained in the 34-foot towers, then pulled up to the 250-foot towers, descended so you got to control, watch out for wires and trees and stuff on the way down. We then jumped from aircraft at about 1,500 feet. I remember my first jump was individual tap out. I hesitated. The jump master said, "Are you going to jump or chicken out?" I jumped. We were jumping the good old C-46s and jumping off a static line. We were using the old T-7 chute, so you knew when your chute opened by the opening shock. Fully equipped, I weighed about 300 pounds, including nearly 150 pounds of weapon, ammunition, two parachutes, a half attempt, a horseshoe roll, trenching tool, shovel, kitchen utensils, and more. We received our wings after five jumps. I remember the music they played at the ceremony, on top of Old Smoky. After volunteering for GI, I shipped out of Camp Stillman, California, passing under the Golden Gate Bridge. It took me nearly 3 weeks to reach Yokohama, Japan, where we were issued our M1s and continued to Busan by ship. We took a train the rest of the way to the front lines. The derailed cars and carnage were present everywhere. We had nearly been pushed off the peninsula. I remember seeing young Korean men walking around with wooden stick legs. I supposed they had been serving as Republic of Korea soldiers before being wounded. We went by truck to the west of the way to the front. I was a replacement in the 204th Field Artillery. It was a busy time with fire orders more or less constant. Our gun replacement emplacements were well fortified with logs and sandbags, never hit while I was there. However, our neighboring troops were not on the left, our left flank were not so fortunate. They were totally overrun. I recall the nights almost like daylight from firing and flares. In accordance with the truth, both sides pulled back a mile and a half so there would be 3 miles of no man's land. After the war, I was given the opportunity to rejoin the airborne unit over there. I accepted and became a member of General William Westmoreland's 187th Regimental Combat Team. They were training nearby. Over 1,000 of us made a jump on an island on the Han River, and there were no injuries. In May of 1954, it was time for me to rotate home. Returning from my service in Korea, I have a fond memory of our troop ship with 5,500 Korean veterans aboard sailing into Seattle Harbor. We threw our duffel bags over our shoulders, walked down the gangplank as a waiting local band played welcome home music for us. It was most welcome and appreciated. I tell you this because it has always bothered me a lot about how the Vietnam veterans and others of more recent wars were treated. About the opposite of that. Many of them are here with us today. War is terrible. We didn't ask for it. Our military was serving our country, and our country didn't want all of Southeast Asia to fall to communism. Communism is a government where all property and buildings are held by the government, with decisions made by a handful of people for you. This is 180 degrees different from what we enjoy. Even though we do not always like it, we are free to complain. I believe the key word in the free enterprise capitalistic system which we enjoy is incentive. Capitalism has incentive structure, and socialism, which can lead to communism, ignores incentives. Our Constitution represented a new form of government, and the world was watching. Even our laws today are measured by that Constitution. to exemplify the sacrifices made to defend our democracy. Each war had its casualties. We lost over 400,000 men in World War II, around 40,000 in Korea, more than 66,000 in Vietnam War, and more in other wars since then. Plus, all those missing in action and all those wounded. What did war lead to? Was our intention to win a war and divide the spoils? No. The United States of America wanted peace and opportunity for all. The world is still beating a pathway to our door to share in the freedom and opportunity that we enjoy. Where would this world be today were it not for one country, the United States of America, and our people? We are probably made up of people from every country on the planet, rich and poor, young and old, Native Americans, black, white, brown, all wanting what we have, the opportunity from the bottom up to be all you can be. Our country's decision was to actively embrace our commitment to compassion and peace. Look at the Berlin blockade, which led to the Berlin airlift. What a great American mercy venture, flying in food, medicine, and fuel daily for 10 months until Russia stopped the blockade. This started in 1948 and marked the beginning of the Cold War. The pictures I like are the German kids out by the runway fence, waving as the pilots were coming in. Pilots dropped candy to them, and there were friendships built. And look at our Marshall Plan. Our country loaned money and supplies to European countries, including those who had been our enemies and had seen so much heavy destruction. For example, a German friend of ours recalls the significance of getting oatmeal, which he felt kept his kids alive. When else and who else would have helped them back on their feet? This Memorial Day program is sponsored by the VFW and the American Legion. That's a sister organization of ours. Both organizations serve their veterans, and both are active in serving in their communities. I belong to both and pretty firmly believe in their mission. Recently, I was privileged to go on the Veterans Honor Flight to Washington, D.C. At the National Archives, I saw the original Constitution and many more early documents. This was very impressive. On the lighter side, in the room next to the Constitution, next to the wall, from school kids written into the president, whoever it was at the time, one read, "Mr. President, I think you are half right and half wrong." Another read, "Mr. President, you made Elvis join the army, but please don't make him shave off his sideburns, because if you do, I will just die." So, finally, my question is, how will history record us? Will you join me in saluting and supporting the spirit and probably divine guidance that gave birth to our incentive-driven system? We close with deep respect and gratitude to our fallen and for the liberty, the freedom, and the opportunity we still enjoy, so well expressed in the preamble to the greatest constitution on earth. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Thank you. May God bless you, and may God bless America.